gospel reading, Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. I would like to call your attention at this time to verses 10 and 11, where Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Please be seated. We talk about the church militant and the church triumphant. The church triumphant, of course, those who have gone before us in eternity. We call the church on earth the church militant, which means fighting, battle. Military is the kind of term. Because we recognize that the church on earth is, in fact, in a battle. Luther talks about the enemies of this battle in his explanation of the fifth petition of the Our Father in the small catechism, where he talks about the enemies as the devil, the world, and my flesh, our flesh. We understand that conflict with our flesh, do we not? We well know God's law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And yet we know when we fall short. And we also know the world as an enemy, do we not? We live in a world that promotes self-interest over others' interests as the most good there is, and encourages us to decide what's good or what's evil on our own terms. That temptation is, of course, the very temptation Satan put before our first parents, Adam and Eve. But in our text, Paul is not dealing with the world or our fallen human nature, not flesh at all. He says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Pastor Franzman, in his commentary on this text, says the church is God's outpost and bridgehead in an alien and still hostile world. The Christian's life is, therefore, of necessity, a life of battle with the powers of Satan. No wonder, therefore, that the apostle exhorts us to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Let's look again at what that is. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Then we ought to look a little closer at what those things are. Gird yourself with the truth. Pilate said, "What is truth?" Jesus, speaking to the Jews who believed in him, said, "If you abide, if you remain in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's truth and lie. And just a little bit later on in John's gospel, on the quote I just read you, he calls Satan the father of falsehood. Truth is what is. It is the reality that exists. A lie is not the opposite of that. It's a parasite. A lie is absolutely nothing if it's recognized as a falsehood. It's gone. It has to be accepted as truth. The lie is not the opposite of truth. It's a parasite on truth. It's as Satan's relationship with God, if you will. How about the breastplate, of righteousness? What might that be? 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "For he made him who knew no sin," we know who that is, "to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We have no righteousness of our own. This righteousness, this armor of God, is found there on the cross, where the Son of God became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How about putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace? The night he rose from the dead, that same day at evening, the first day of the week, says John, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven that. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." There's peace. Faith. The shield of faith. Against the fiery darts of Satan. Faith in Jesus, who rose from the dead as the victor over sin, death, and Satan. Faith that says when Satan comes accusing us, "Yes, I know, Satan, I would love to fulfill God's law. You don't need to remind me that I failed to do so as I ought." But you have to talk to him. He paid the price. How about the helmet of salvation? That protective gear. Remember Peter? Denied that he even knew Jesus for fear of the Sanhedrin. And yet, a short time later, he stands before that same group that tried Jesus and sent him to the cross. The same group trying him because he and John have raised a crippled man to his feet and caused an uproar in doing so. Peter says to them, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved." The helmet of salvation. Excuse me. When we have finished today receiving the very body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, touched physically by him, we will sing together the Song of Simeon.
who touched and held the baby Jesus
and sang, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles
and the glory of your people Israel." And finally, we come to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He started this armor with the Word of God, the truth in our house.
The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon in the armor.
And then, in fact, it's not us, but the Spirit that speaks the word of Christ, the gospel of peace for the world, so that some might come to faith in Him.
Interesting, isn't it?
Bracketed by the word, we've had the pieces of armor of salvation.
Righteousness, peace, gospel.
The object of our faith, which of course is Christ, and salvation.
All of it, right there. The apostle writes to the church
to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
We're not in this battle alone. The full armor of God is supplied for each member of the church. Like the ranks of Roman soldiers standing side by side, we do not fight alone. We don't stand on our own two feet. In doing that, there's no hope,
but the certainty, a certain failure, that is the eternal failure.
The church stands in the Lord and the power of His might, armed by Him,
with His word and sacraments, an invincible force, so empowered that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come.
Wednesday evening, the parish had a call meeting, elected to call Pastor Donald Clapp. His parish has not heard of this yet. He is not able to announce it to him this morning because officially he hasn't gotten the paperwork. This is the way it works in this world. So we ask, please, it's confidential. His people need to hear it from their pastor, not by the grapevine. But we would like to include a prayer this morning. Let us pray. Lord
Jesus Christ, having prayed for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, we have called Pastor Clapp to proclaim your saving gospel to us. Guide him as he considers our needs, the needs of the parish he is now serving, and the welfare of your kingdom. If it be your will, prompt him to accept the pastorate of this parish. Hear us for your own name's sake, as you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray for our community.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and a unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we evermore laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body.
Peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death.
Yeah.
The same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.